Welcome into episode 413 of After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. A few things to talk about. Sabres hitting Florida for a two-game trip. Lindy Ruff on the chopping block, apparently, talking about firing Lindy in New Jersey. So what could his future hold after New Jersey if that were to happen? We can maybe get into that. And a major amount of disappointment today for me. I listened to a friend of mine on the radio. He does an appearance every other week on Shred and Reagan and 97 Rock here in Buffalo. And you can go to their site and you know, have a listen if you want to. But so I was listening to my buddy who played 923 games in the NHL. He was a defenseman in the NHL. And someone I thought was a rather solid historian of the game. Then Shred and Reagan asked him how old Tim Horton was when he died.
Yeah.
Now, if this question were to be asked in Canada by anybody born before 1988, I don't know why I said 88, because I'm born in 80, and I'd like to believe that our generation kind of learned a little more about the history of the game. And when you said 28, Craig, I just about drove my car into a Tim Hortons, kind of like Ryan O'Reilly. I couldn't believe you said 28 years old. He was 44 and he died in St. Catharines, my hometown. So that's maybe why I had an advantage there. But I
had no idea. To be honest, I had no idea. I can tell you this. Thoroughly enjoy his coffee. Thank you, Tim Horton, for opening your stores all across the world.
Okay.
I had no idea how long Tim Horton had played in the NHL. And now all of a sudden it's like, you know, you go and do a little research, because I made myself look like an idiot because I said, oh, I played till he was 28. And then all of a sudden I found out it was 44. I had to go back and look him up. He played 1,446 games. Mind-blowing. So I was way off. Did you see this? A case of mystery hockey cards found in a Canadian basement fetches $3.7 million at an auction. Inside, there could be more than 20 rookie cards of Wayne Gretzky. Could you imagine?
So is it a mystery box that was put together by somebody, or was it was found? Does anyone know what's in the box?
They know that there's 16 boxes of hockey cards in a great big cardboard box that on the outside it has hockey action cards with bubble gum, right?
Oh, so they're still in the packages.
They're in the packages. So there's 16 boxes, okay? 16 boxes of hockey cards in a big box from the 1980s. It sold for an unopened case of hockey cards found in a basement has earned a family in Canada $3.1 million US at an auction. I thought that was like, and you're a big hockey card guy, right? The old Apeachy cards and,
you know, Score, tops.
That is like the ultimate dream come true for the collectors of hockey cards. Could you imagine getting a box, a big cardboard box filled with 16 boxes of unopened hockey cards from the 80s, from 1980, which is basically, you know, the Wayne Gretzky era?
The question is, does the person who paid $3 million for them open them, or do you leave it as a mystery? So I mentioned off the top, Lindy Ruff is on the hot seat. Did you hear this?
I didn't. That you shocked me. You gave me a shocker this morning. Where did you hear that?
Well, just go type in the old search there, Fire Lindy, and you know, up it comes.
Yeah. Have the devil? Let me. There's two parts to this question. Like, man, do you believe the team overachieved last year? Just grossly overachieved.
Well, they lost two players. They lost two really good players. They signed a player that might be a dud.
You're so, talking about Timo Meier, I would imagine, right?
Yeah. Is that Lindy's
fault?
He's got
11 goals, 24 points. He's minus 24, and they paid him $8.8 million a year.
Yeah.
If that's not a bust, I don't know what is.
I can't remember. Is Lindy the GM also? I thought they just extended Fitzgerald, right? Yeah. Lindy Ruff is a scapegoat. So I guess after a loss last week, Jack Quinn said that we are in need of an attitude change.
Interesting. You had mentioned to me the goaltending is not helping either. Like, you look at all the goaltending players that have played this year, and it's stunk to high hell. The goaltending is terrible. It is a real sore spot in New Jersey right now. But again, it's like, you know, Jasper Bratt, Jack Hughes, Toffoli, Nico Hischier, Hula, Luke Hughes. I mean, you just go through, they're young, they're a very talented hockey team. My question that I go back to is, you know, they lost some players, some key players from last year's roster, and kind of replaced them with one big name guy in Timo Meier, and Timo Meier is stinking to high hell. And when you're paying a guy that much money and you're not getting his worth, then the team's going to struggle. That's not on Lindy. That's on Timo Meier. That's on the players. Do you not think?
Maybe it's on the makeup of the team. I mean, it sounds very similar to what's going on here in Buffalo. Underachieving. So there's a lot more going on in New Jersey than just Lindy Ruff. So he signed a multi-year extension on October 11th this season, right before the season started.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're missing Dougie Hamilton. He's not going anywhere. These are just angry media members and fans. They're not getting rid of Lindy.
Well, especially after how long was his deal? 2-3 years, I would imagine. Probably making some pretty damn good money.
Probably 3 years. He's probably making what, $3 million, $3.5 million?
At least.
I wish they'd post that.
Yeah. I wish they would post all the coaches' salaries. The players' salaries are out there. Why can't you post the coaches? Well, so, let me ask you this. Where are you going with this?
Okay. Oh, well, I was just going to say, if he gets fired, I know he has a good relationship with the Pegulas, Terry especially. I think Lindy Ruff would make a great president of hockey ops.
Boom shakalaka.
Or special advisor to the GM, or something in some kind of
just there being another voice that can give an opinion. And at the end of the day, Kevin Adams is the one who makes decisions here. Okay. He is the leader. He is the one making the decisions. But you can't have yes men in that thought process. You always want people that are going to test you, give different opinions, have you look outside of maybe what your comfort zone is and what you can see and what you're thinking about. If you have people that always are like, yes, yes, I really like how you're thinking here. I think we should go after this player. You want people like Lindy. I think he's been in the league a very long time. And, you know, he would be someone that, I mean, he would be an extremely welcome addition just as a hockey person. He's been around hockey a long time. He's seen the changes from the time when he was playing in the 80s and then coaching in the 90s, the 2000s, and so on. The game's changed. the type of player has changed. The personality of the players have changed. And building his team in a salary cap era is not as easy as what you might think. So anytime that you can get people that are very capable and that been around this game a long time, I'm not saying that Lindy Ruff's going to get fired, but if he did, man, would it be a phone call. I would literally be phoning him 5 minutes after he got fired and ask him to come to Buffalo to help out.
Could you imagine if Lindy came back, though? There'd be billboards everywhere with Lindy Ruff all over it, just welcoming him back. Kind of like there are billboards everywhere with Celino Law, everywhere. And they got the new number on him and everything. 888-888-8888. And you know what they say? Car crash, call Celino. 888-888-8888. The Sabres game plan tonight against the Florida Panthers. And the last thing I would want is to give up Sam Reinhart's 40th goal to his old team. That would piss me.
I couldn't care less if he scored a hat trick tonight, as long as we win the game. Because this is all about winning. Everything is about winning. Okay? Sam Reinhart, who passed the puck over to his teammate, who went and scored a goal, and thinking Sam Reinhart understands that at the end of the day, it's about building confidence among the entire group, not just having one player have a career year. Sam Reinhart doesn't give a shit about that. He gives a shit about winning. And, you know, you said to me, well, he hasn't got a goal since the Sabres. So they've played four games since the Sabres. They've won three out of four. They lost a 1-0 game to Carolina. They beat Tampa Bay 9-2. They've beat Ottawa. They've beat Capitals. I don't think Sam Reinhart cares about not scoring his 40th. I don't think he's worried about that at all. I think Sam Reinhart's focus is probably trying to score 50. It's probably a milestone for himself deep down inside to score 50.
What do you think 40 is?
It is a milestone because I think the most he's scored is, what, 30? What's the most Sam Reinhart scored?
33 2 years ago, his first year in Florida. He scored 31 last year after, I think, a really slow start last year.
Yes, that's true.
Like, I think he had two goals in his first 15 games last year.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's going to have a milestone at 40 to score 40, but I think Sam is looking to try and score 50. He needs 11 more goals, 24 more games. I think it's doable. But right now for the Sabres, and the way that they're thought, it shouldn't be just shutting down Sam Reinhart, the old teammate. I mean, Sam Reinhart's been gone for 3 years. Like, I don't care about Sam Reinhart. I don't care about Jack Eichel. I don't care about Rasmus Ristolainen, the old guards of the past.
I do. It's not anything against Sam. It's the storyline. Like, you don't want to be the... Think about it. Oh, Sam Reinhart scores his 40th, first time in his career against his old team.
But is that going to be the storyline if the Sabres beat Florida Panthers?
Well, here's the thing.
Are they
going to
be talking like,
well,
hey, Sam Reinhart just scored his 40th goal against his old team?
I don't expect the Sabres to beat Florida tonight. That's the whole thing here. And if they don't, it's totally understandable. Florida is a monster.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Is Boston a monster?
Oh, yeah, here we go. Anyone can beat anybody. I get it.
I please answer my questions.
Boston is a monster.
Is Vancouver a monster?
Vancouver is a monster.
Is the Rangers a monster?
Oh, yeah, they're a monster.
Is Dallas a monster?
Yeah.
Is Winnipeg a monster?
Yeah. Yes, I think
they're... Is Colorado a monster?
Yes.
Is Toronto Maple Leafs a monster?
Oh, yeah, they beat all these teams, right?
Is Carolina Hurricanes a monster?
Yeah, they are. They are.
What about Vegas Golden Knights?
They are, too.
So listen to me. I just named the top 10 teams in the National Hockey League. Buffalo Sabres have beaten every single one of them except for one. You want to know which team that is? Florida Panthers. So what I will say is, going into tonight's game, I think the Sabres can beat any team in this league if they play the right way. They've beaten nine of the top 10 teams in the league this year. They've beaten nine of them, which is mind-blowing. The one team they haven't beat is the Florida Panthers, and there's no better time than right now, because I don't think the Sabres are going into this, you know, trip to Florida and saying, okay, we've got to win these two games, and then we've got to win three out of the next four of the. They're looking at one game at a time. You can't look any further than just the game ahead of you. Go and give your best, and I'm going to tell you right now, I think the Sabres can beat Florida Panthers. I honestly believe that if they're
Florida
playing
doesn't
well.
Show up. And listen, I'm not trying to discredit. I'm not trying to discredit. I'm trying to just kind of give you my theory on all those wins against those top teams. Those top teams come in. They see the Sabres have been struggling against shit teams. Maybe they don't, I don't want to say play down to their level, but maybe they don't come out and play their brand of hockey. And the Sabres take advantage of that. And maybe that's what's happened. I would like to believe that it's because the Sabres can be as dominant as those teams, but I don't think that's the case right now. So I think the Sabres, in theory, played afraid to get blown out by those teams.
Yeah.
And they might surprise themselves some night. So
can I ask you another question? And I don't know the answer to this. Have the Sabres beat the Oilers? I think the answer is no, right?
Why don't you just go look it up?
Oh, I could. You're my encyclopedia.
Editor,
I think the Sabres beat the Red Wings. The Sabres have beat Tampa Bay, correct? They beat the LA Kings. Out of 15 teams, 15 of the top teams in the NHL right now, the Sabres have beaten nine, 10, 11, 12 of the top 15 teams. And I'm not sure about Edmonton. They've beaten everybody. But here's the shitty part. They've lost to San Jose. They've lost to Anaheim. They've lost to Columbus.
Lost to Anaheim twice. They lost to Arizona once. In Arizona, 2-0.
That's right. They lost to the Montreal Canadiens. They've lost to the Senators. They've lost to Pittsburgh. They've lost to the Kraken. They've lost to Calgary. They lost to the Islanders. They've lost to the bottom teams in the league. They're beating the top teams and losing to the bottom teams. And that's why I feel that the Sabres have a chance to beat any team in this league. When you have right now a goaltender that is clearly taken over the number one position.
They have not beaten the Oilers this year.
Okay. We're talking about Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
That's because they play them March 9th and March 21st.
Okay, that's good to know. That'll be awesome. That'll be exciting. But Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen's on freaking fire. Since like January 1st, he's like one of the top goaltenders, like clearly one of the top goaltenders in the league. He's been just insane, giving his team a chance to win.
They need 2 of 4 points on this road trip. That's all I'll say about that.
Looking for a night out? Maybe go watch a game at a bar. Maybe even have a nice fancy dinner. Who knows? I might even get crazy and play some bets while I'm at it. And there's only one place to do all that. Only at Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. You can hit up Stick Sports Bar and Grill, grab an unbelievable steak at the Western Door, gamble at the casino, or even play some bets at the sports book. All in one location at Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close.
By far, without question, this season, the most surprising team is the Ottawa Senators with what's happened to them.
Yeah.
I thought in the Eastern Conference, Ottawa, Detroit, and Buffalo were the three teams in the last 2 years that were ready and sat around out of the playoffs for long enough to kind of make that jump back up into the standings. And Detroit's done that. Buffalo's kind of hovered in the same or a little bit lower, but Detroit or Ottawa has completely just taken a dump.
Very surprising. I think have some players that are still underachieving, trying to find their game. You know, you're going to win hockey games with your best player playing their best hockey. That's how this goes. You're either winning because you're a goaltender and he's hot, or you're winning because you have a really good, strong defensive system and you're opportunistic and scoring and you just shut down teams, or you're a powerhouse offensive team that will just overwhelm teams with their offense. And right now, Ottawa is not getting great goaltending. It's horrible. They are not defending well at all, and they're not scoring enough goals, period. So they're not playing up to expectations right now.
They just fired their coach this year. You know, they've got Jacques Martin behind the bench, who's, you know, listen, he's a temporary fit. He's just there to finish out the season and just play grandfather to these guys. So, but the owner wants a new rink. You need to find a new coach. You've got to make some adjustments on your roster. And Ottawa's not a very desired place to play. I mean, you know, you got Claude Giroux because he's from across the river there. Like, you, it's not like you went and you know, DeBrincat wanted out and he left. And now he's killing it in Detroit, the team that you were supposed to be competing against for these wild card spots.
Right, yeah.
You go out and trade for Chychrun. Okay. You know, can't say that's paid off yet. And the
crazy thing is Chychrun is on the trade block.
Yeah, and you pay Sanderson shit tons of money. They went out and got a goaltender.
And Korpisalo is horrendous. I mean, his numbers are terrible. Jacob Chychrun was brought in here to be one of the saviors on the back end. He's minus 15. He's got 30 points in 56 games. I don't know if they're calling this a success. There's just players. They brought in Vladimir Tarasenko. They needed him to go off, and he has not gone off. He scored 15 goals, which is not bad, but it's not good. It's not great. They need much more. Josh Norris, who missed all of last year, who was one of their top centermen, you know, he's got 30 points in 16 goals in 49 games. And that's not good enough for a number one or number two center on a team. That's it. So their top players right now are still trying to find their game. And that's why they're in the situation that they're in right now. But you're going to see some changes. You're going to see changes there because I think in Ottawa, they want to start to push the envelope to be a playoff team, very much like the Buffalo Sabres. But I would take the Buffalo Sabres roster over Ottawa any day of the week. I think Buffalo has a very strong core of players. And in order for this team to make the jump, to really make the jump into the playoffs, they need about three or four changes on their team.
Very similar rosters. Not that we need to dissect it anymore. I'm looking at the standings and I was thinking, you know, the two most disappointing teams this year for me, at least in the Eastern Conference, but the West is pretty much, you know, where everything should be. I might say Arizona. I expected more out of them, but you know, it's Arizona. But in the East, Buffalo and Ottawa are the two biggest disappointments in the Eastern Conference. And the Eastern Conference, I think the thing is about the East, there are five teams that are monsters. I don't know if you want to throw Tampa Bay in the monster mix. If you do, that six. After that, everyone is very, very, very similar.
Yes. Ottawa is very young, though. Fifth youngest team in the league. Buffalo is tied for, I think, first youngest team in the league. So when you have extremely youthful teams, there are a lot of players that don't understand quite yet in their careers how tight it is, the difference between a win and a loss, how tight it is, and understanding the long season of an NHL season. younger players seem to struggle with that, and they have ebbs and flows. They have waves up and down in their play. They're not consistent. They can play insane one night and be very lost in the next night. And I think that when you look at the Sabres roster, when you look at Ottawa's roster, they're very young. They're very, they're still trying to understand how to win hockey games. And I can't stand hearing this because I've heard it for literally well over a decade here in Buffalo. That being said, that's the case here in Buffalo. That is literally the case. There's a few factors why we sit where we sit right now in Buffalo, because we've got some pretty good solid goaltending for the last month or two, but the start of the season when we had three goaltenders, it was not a good start. We lost games. Our goaltending wasn't great. There was no rhythm. Now we have rhythm. Now we have Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, that is clearly the number one guy, has taken it over, and he's helping this team win hockey games. The other thing is, you have an Owen Power, for an example, that had the ability to be out injured. He had the ability to sit back and watch some games, take things in. He's a super young player. And watching him, and we discussed this at the start of the year, PD, in the first 15, 20 games of the season, Owen Power was all over the place. There was no structure and understanding of when to go and when not to go. And there was a lot of breakdowns defensively, a lot of two-on-ones, three-on-twos that translated into goals against. You had a young forward line that did not bring in new blood. They did not bring in players. So now, all of a sudden, when you look at it all, the Sabres are in a good spot. They have a very good hockey team. They just need a few changes, and they need those younger players to continue to mature and develop. And that's it's just the case.
You just need to play Dahlin just a smidge under 30 minutes a night every night, and you give yourself the best chance. When I heard that conversation today on Shred and Rag, and it's incredible to me when I heard that he's playing that much. That's like Chara type ice time.
Well, there's defensemen. There's not a lot of defensemen that can do it. That's just, we'll put it that way. He's playing 31-43 in the last game against Carolina. If you can have Dahlin on the ice more, then you want him on the ice because that's how good he is. I don't have a problem playing him 25 to 30 minutes. If he can handle those minutes, okay, and his body doesn't start to break down mentally and physically, then you play him. Do you remember who was it? Suter. Ryan Suter played the most minutes, him and Drew Doughty, for a long period of time. Those two players together played more minutes than any other defenseman. And they were averaging, 27, 28, 29, 30 minutes a night. Where most defensemen, most elite defensemen like Rasmus Dahlin would be playing around 24, 25. These guys could handle that workload. Because and listen, if you can handle the workload, then get them on the ice. Because having Rasmus Dahlin on the ice more is going to make your team better. Period. But I'm sure Don Granato and the coaching staff is keeping a very close eye on Dahlin and how he's performing. If he looks like he's fatiguing out, then you got to drop his minutes back a little bit, and that's fine. But if he's not fatiguing out, then you want Rasmus Dahlin on the ice as much as humanly possible.
That's it for today for After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close.